Shaar Dalid Perek Aleph is actually big, and I don't know that we could get through every word of it, but I think we can definitely get through the highlights. I don't think the purpose of this kind of chabura, and certainly in the limited time that we have, I don't think it'd be best served to like give a whole biography of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, et cetera, other than to know Nefesh HaChaim, not the only, but the most famous work that we do have from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and it has a lot of very important yesodistic things, but it is most famous for this section, Shaar Dalid, which is his treatise on the role of Talmud Torah. And the importance of Talmud Torah, the centrality of Talmud Torah, but also, as we shall see, right off the bat, is the balance between Talmud Torah and Yiras Shamayim, or what in certain circles it sounds like he's talking about maybe Limud HaMusar, Dveikus, Hispodidus, all that kind of stuff. The you could say, I don't think this would be fair in terms of capturing the essence, but on some level, is the focus intellectual? Is the focus spiritual? Those are kind of shorthands that we use now. It's all kind of underpinning what's going on here. And again, in his day, it was influential just in terms of the vision of his own yeshiva, the famous Volozhin yeshiva. But since then, it has become, in some cases knowingly, there are a lot of yeshivas and stuff where people study this. It's like a real seminal work and significant work. But even in places or people who've never opened the Sefer, they don't even realize that the fact that our entire contemporary, Jewish Orthodox world, in one form or another, revolves around the yeshiva and yeshiva experience, and it seems like every generation, what the expectation of universal Jewish learning is even more, right? Once upon a time, only until you were 10, and then until you were 14. Now all of a sudden, you go, at minimum, to high school and time in Eretz Yisrael, and obviously in the more yeshivish world, it's even more. All of that, on many levels, can easily be attributed to this work and this person. I'm sure there are other factors. I'm not saying not, but probably the most influential factor in terms of creating a conception and a vision for the role of Torah and the role it plays not only in our lives, but metaphysically in the universe, which again, in many parts of the Torah community are just assumed. I'm not saying they're wrong, but their mom is just assumed, when really, in many cases, they're debatable, and in some cases are really the chiddush of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, or at least the emphasis comes from him. So it's hard to imagine a sefer that's more influential or more relevant to B'nai Yeshiva. Okay, now one thing which we won't necessarily see today, but Mirza Shem, as we continue this, there's another thing which makes very interesting when you study him, which is that we often associate Hasidim with Kabbalah or mysticism, and the Litvasher, the non-Hasidim, with something more rationalistic. There's a certain truth to that. There's a reason we make that assumption. But it's very simplistic, and the best proof of that is Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who was very much not Hasidish, and very much Kabbalistically oriented. As we go on, and in Mirza Shem, I hope we can cover a lot of this, the Zohars will be coming, we'll have to keep count of how many Zohars he quotes, and his whole treatise, as we'll get to at some point, he'll talk specifically about the metaphysical and mystical impact of Talmud Torah.
We did a little bit of Nefesh HaChaim with Kerrigan, and he commented that Rav Chaim Volozhiner was probably quoting the Zohar a lot because he was trying to beat the Hasidim at their own game.
Could be. That's good. Again, I'm not sure if that's a universal theory, if there's Rabbi Kerrigan's theory, but it's reasonable. I don't know that it's true or not, but I understand where he's coming from. So, again, that's kind of the last. I don't want to spend much more time on like the social or historical implications. Let's actually learn the actual text, and let's let Rav Chaim Volozhiner speak for himself. He actually, as you'll see, Mirza Shem will definitely get to this today, he very much actually introduces things in the historical context. Why is he writing this, and why is he writing it now? So as you'll see short, pretty soon after we start, he'll tell you, and he is basically proudly, in a certain sense you could say, or admittedly, being reactive. Okay, here we go. Ozo Samarti, Lavo b'Megillas Sefer Kasuv Begodel Hachiyov Shel Esek HaTorah Al Kol Ish Yisrael Yom V'Layla. Okay, so bottom line, he says, and it's going to be a Megillah, this is not short. But if you want to know what is the goal, he tells you, first sentence, right? He would get an A in English composition, right? Right away, he tells you the goal. What is the importance? How significant, how central is study of Torah in the lives of each person, day and night, right? It's already ambitious. Not just you and not me, and not just the day and not the night. Everybody, all the time. Ulaharchiv ma'at hadibur, I would take out probably the word ma'at, right? And to expand on this just a bit, balashon medaberet gedulat yakar tifarto malata shel Torah. And to talk, once I'm doing that, let's talk about how special, how beautiful, how important Torah is. V'ha'adam ha'yashar ha'oseik v'hogeba b'toras chesed al-shono, asos nachas ruach liyotzro u'barach yisbarach shemo. And how the fact is that someone who studies Torah is giving tremendous pleasure and nachas, however we understand that, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? There's nothing more precious you could do for God than to study His Torah. V'ish das ha-mameitz koach, anyone who really puts in the effort, l'tomcha, to uphold, asada, to support, lachzik, to reinforce, badeka, and all the cracks, there's to fix, to make sure to hold Torah up. Achra sherzeh yamim rabim. Now here we go. After all, he says, now why is this so important? Why am I emphasizing it? And what bedakeha are there? What cracks is he talking about? That this person who now studies Torah is supporting and reinforcing. What cracks? Acharei sheirze yamim rabim. It's been a while, he says. L'Yisrael shehushpal esak haTorah hakadosha b'chol dor v'dor. Says, we've had generations leading up to his time where he feels like people haven't taken Torah seriously and Torah has gone down. V'hein ata b'doros halolu b'avonosein harabim nafla ma'od ma'od. Right? The crown of Torah has fallen to great depths. The suna b'seiser hamadrega hatachton rachman atzlan. It's kind of like hiding in the corner, if you will. Kashayinu haros atah barabas b'nei amenu migodol sevel masa ol parnasas Hashem yirachem. Right? Again, this is not intellectual history chabura, but he's clearly attributing to describing something which we more or less are familiar with, which was the crushing burden of poverty. Right? We have been brought up, both of all of us, you know, whatever our personal family situation is, you know, in one of the most wealthy time periods in Jewish history. Right? That was not when he was writing. So he says, you know, leave aside everything else, and he's going to get to other more subtle points in a few moments. But at minimum, right, people are working all day, and they're not working at a computer. It's crushing, back-breaking work. They're exhausted. They're poor. They don't exactly have, you know, a lot of nutrient-filled diet. Who has time to go out and, you know, do an Ian Chabura, you know, for an hour, twice a week, in the community kollel, as if they would know what such a thing was. Right? It's very, very bad, he says. The gam kama mi osan asher kirvas alakim bichabezun hema bachru l'atvam l'kma kol ikar limudam asifra yiru u'musar kol yamim. And here we get to what's going to be the main thrust of this chapter, and it's going to come up a number of times in the beginning of this section, which is, but what my real problem is not just to go to those people who I love and I treasure and they're good people, but they're just not learning at all. My real focus is that small group of people whose neshamas have been kindled, who are on fire, who are inspired, who are learning, but they're doing it wrong. And here you have a phenomenon which I think you find many thinkers describe in many different historical periods, in which it's one thing if people just don't do the right thing. No, that's not a good thing, but at least what's right is still hasn't been blurred. The black is still black, the white is still white, it's clear. In some cases, a little bit of a good thing is actually worse, because you've actually blurred what actually is the right thing. And that's what he's getting at here. There are people who he's describing. I mean, I would love if someone of any stature, the Lord of Chaim Volozhiner, would describe me as he describes these people. Kirvas Elokim Yechapezon, right? These are people who mamish, they want to become close to Hashem. They have all the good intentions. But they've decided to take a focus on Limud Yira and Musar. They're focusing on Dveikos, as he's going to use that term soon, Yira Shamayim and Musar. But what aren't they doing? Blow Kvias Ikar Ha'isik B'Torah HaKadosha. What are they not doing? The main study of Torah. B'mikros V'Halachos HaMarubos. They're not studying Halacha. Adayin L'Ro Ma'oros Mi'imehem V'Lo Noga Elehem Or Torah. They don't really appreciate the beauty of Torah. Hashem Yislach Lehem. Hashem should forgive them. Ki Kavanasam Hashem Shemayim. I realize they have good intentions. Avolo Zu HaDerech Yishkon Bam Or HaTorah. But this is not the way for Torah to ultimately reside in you. Okay, so he's laid down the gauntlet, and basically the rest of the parak here is going to be more elaborating, but basically on that idea. What is the balance, what should be the balance, and what have been the historical mistakes? As you shall see, he's going to talk about something, it's almost like a roller coaster, or if you prefer the fancier word, it's dialectical. It kind of goes back and forth between people focusing too much on one, then they focus too much on the other, and it's a mess, he says. Ha-mess. What's the truth? Ki sifra yira hinam b'chol darchei Hashem yisharim ki doros harishonim ha'yikvum kol yameim b'esek v'higayon toros en ha'kadosha. How did the problem start? Once upon a time, people were really just focusing on shas, poskim, halacha, tkuim b'ohalei ha'midrashos b'gefet. They were focusing on midrashi halacha, gefet, you know that Rashi Tevos? Gemara Perish Rashi Tosfos Gefet Vashalheves Avas Torasenu Hakadosha Boer Belibam Keish Boheres. Right, he's a very poetic writer, and the love and the passion for Torah burned inside of them like a burning flame. Bavas Hashem HaTahora with the love of Yir Shemayim, etc. Chol Chavtzam, and all their desire was Lahagil Kvodo LaAdira, to grow the covet of Torah, the prestige of Torah. And these people became Tamid Chachamim. They became teachers, and they wanted to go out, and they started a yeshiva in this shtibel, and they started one in this shtetl, and they wanted to be Marbitz Torah and be Magdil Shem Shamayim, right? It sounds like amazing. Like, what could have gone wrong? So he tells us, Ukasher Archayamim, but over time, right? Like so many things that started out well, over time, Hine Kane Darko Shel Yetzer HaOlam. This is how things go sometimes. L'his Kane Ba'am Hashem Eila Kasherhema Dorchim Mederach Hashem Karaui Latel Behem Eres. Somehow, some poison, Eres is a poison, some poison got injected into this seemingly wonderful, beautiful approach. Achakama mi hatalmidim samu kol kviusam v'iskam rakpil pulpula shel Torah levad v'lo zulat klal. So they went to such an extreme that everything became various pulpulim, which probably is even worse than chakiros. But the point is, even at best case scenario, is just the brisker chakiros, just the analytical, just the that kind of stuff. Velo zulat klal, and nothing else. Now you might say, what's wrong with that? Now, by the way, I'll tell you, there was a person a number of years ago, a young man who was a 12th grader, two years younger than you. Who I remember I was talking, like many of you probably heard me at some point when you were in high school. Well, not Moshe, but I guess about the other three of you when you were in high school. About, the opportunity in afternoon Seder and different times, and we have different things. And at one point I used to give a mashal. I don't know if you guys heard this mashal, but at times I've given the mashal of a Olympic swimming pool with the different lanes. Now the biggest and widest lane is Gemara, but there's another lane here and another lane there, and we have more lanes than other places, yada, yada, yada. I remember him calling me, after we'd already had these discussions and saying, listen, Rabbi Gali, but Gush sounds great, but do I have to go to the other lanes? What if I just want to learn Gemara all day, every day? Like, you're going to make me do the other stuff because then I don't want to come. I told him, honestly, of course not. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing is a different question. But of course we're not. So that person who's Adi Omazes, still a wonderful Ben Torah, he's already 2 years, he was here 2 years, he's already back in America 2 years, wonderful Ben Torah, Tam Chacham. But there's a real risk to that, right? It doesn't mean you're starker because you just do Gemara, right? And no less than a personage of Chaim Volozhiner is telling us that. Why is that? Again, in the short term, it could be okay. And even for certain people, it could be okay. But for a large group of people over time, if that's your only focus, there is inevitably going to become what he called a poison or a crack. How so? He quotes the Mishnah, B'shanina b'mishnah seinu, imein yira, ein chachma. In other words, you can't discount the importance of Yirat Shamayim. Now, the PS to this, which not only relates to this anonymous Talmud I'm referring to, who was a tremendous Yirat Shamayim, or, for that matter, if you're familiar with what Rav Soloveitchik says in Isha Halakha, Halakhic Man, about the study of Musar and how the classical Litvisha people, including the Volozhiner Yeshiva, did not join the Musar movement, is an assumption that, well, maybe you can get Yirat Shamayim from Gemara, right? But at the minimum, we're not talking now about methods, we're talking about goals. And even though in theory a certain number of people could get the Yirat Shamayim from the Gemara, what he's diagnosing is, over time and with a larger number of people, you lose sight that that's even a goal. Forget how you're going to do it. You should learn Maseches Yesharim, or you should learn, another Perek in Maseches Megillah, and maybe that'll help. Right? That's a different discussion. Tanakh is better, or Hasidus is better. Right? But those are all assuming that there's a goal of Yirat Shamayim. What happened here, he says, is, he diagnoses, they lost sight of that. There's even more Mamre Chazal that speak about this point, and I'll discuss this later in future chapters. So what happened? Here's the dialectic. So all of a sudden, we started off with no learning. Then the people said, oh, we're going to really invest in learning, and it came Gemara, 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 Halacha, Halacha. But then we lost the Yirat Shamayim. So then what happened? So then there was a reaction in the other direction. There were certain leaders who said, we have a problem. There were people who weren't just worrying about their Talmidim and their base medrash. They had the bird's eye view. They say there's something broken in Klal Yisrael. And why should I wait for you to fix it? I'll take achrayas. I have to fix it. Liyasher hahidurim ligdor pirtzosam laharim hamishkol b'derech Hashem. We have to fix this. There's a problem. There are stumbling blocks. There's cracks in this road of Hashem. Umiluus yadam lavo b'tochachas b'musarim b'midos. And they went around trying to give musar and tochacha and correct this problem. The chibru sifra yira, and they wrote books of yira shamayim in musar. Lahayshir lev ha'am liosam asukim b'torah hakadosha b'avoda ubiyiras Hashem atahora. Sounds great, right? Again, we are roller coastering up and down, dialecticaling all back and forth. So we had first just nice good balabatim. Then we had focus on Torah. Then we lost the Yerushalayim. And then what happened? The pendulum swung back. And now there's all this great focus on Yerushalayim. He thinks great, right? We have that, we're constantly searching for that magic synthesis. No good, no luck. Omnam kol ish tivunos asher sichlo yasher holech yavin midato. He says, anyone with a half a brain can understand. He says, ki lo kivnu behem lhaznia chas v'sholom ha'esek b'gufei ha'Torah. These great tzaddikim who notice and diagnose the problem, obviously when they then started focusing on Musar, they didn't mean to communicate chas v'sholom, he says, that Gemara, Gefet, Halacha is not important. Of course, that's not what they meant. But what did the people hear? Ulios ach also kol hayamim b'sefer Musar. They didn't mean to say these original people who, I don't know if he means Rabbi Yisrael Salanter or not. He doesn't say who he means, but he's giving them all the credit. He's not criticizing the leaders. They noticed the problem. There wasn't enough Yerushalayim. We need more Yerushalayim. We need more Musar. So they started focusing on that and giving their speeches about that. Right? You have two choices. You know from your father's a rabbi. Two of you have two rabbi sons here. I'm not a rabbi's son, but I'm a rabbi, so that's kind of like a bezdin. Right? Two rabbis, and this is a challenge, right? I'm sure if you ask your respective fathers, they'll tell you it's not always easy, right? What do you speak about, right? When you have to pick a topic in shul, right? You could speak about something which will be a nice speech, which everyone pretty much agrees with already, and maybe even the community is good at. Or you can dafka pick the things that you know they're not going to agree with, but that they need to hear or they're not good at, right? It's not always easy to pick that one, right? But sometimes, if you're a leader, you know you have to do that sometimes. So these rabbis did that. But because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they started giving speech after speech about the importance of Musar and Yerushalayim, it wasn't because they didn't think the other stuff was important. It's because that's what they felt that they needed to hear. But what happened? Ella, ba 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 bum. Kavanasam Ritsuya. Yes, it's true. They had the right intentions. Shekal Iker Kvias Limud Am HaKodesh Yerak Petara Kadosha Shebesavu Balpeh. Halachas Merubos. Hein Gufa Tova. Vigam. That's the key word of that whole long sentence. Vigam Yeres Hashem Torah. No doubt. If you would ask those Rabbanim, they weren't saying, throughout the Gemara and only learn Mesil Sesharim. They meant keep the Gemara, but also the Mesil Sesharim, so to speak. What happened? Behein Ata. And now, says Rechaim Volozhin, you get to my generation. Right? Nahafochu. Right? A little preview for Purim. Nahafochu, he says. It's turned on its head. Hagavoa hushpal. What was once high is now been upside down, on the bottom. Shekama vakama samukol ikur. Kvias limudam. There are so many people who the main focus of their learning, Rov Hayamim, is what? Rak b'sifrei yira u'musar ba'amram kizeh kol ha'adam ba'olamo la'asok bahem tamid. They feel that this is everything to focus on the sifrei musar, the sifrei yira shamayim ki hema malhivim halavavos. Now you say, why are these books? Again, I'm not sure if you've maybe used either classics like the Mesil Sesharim, maybe you've read more contemporary books, or you've heard a contemporary, of Judah Michelle, or in Nancy Sly Colwell, they major in this, right? What you know, Judah Michelle is? He's the head of Hask. He's a kind of a neo Hasidic. He's a great speaker. He's a friend of mine. Tom Chacham. Many other people are Moshe Weinberger. It could be. Hold on one second.
Guys.
Speaking of Musar. So it says Rechaim Volozhiner, why do people get attracted to this? Why do they do it? So he says here in two words, again, he sums it up. He could have been writing about, 2020, right? Because these things inspire people. Malhivim levavos, right? Let's be honest, right? Let's call a spade a spade. Right? Sitting over, Kiddushei Isha, and you know, la la me'isha, and is it kinyan, is it more ishus or iser? And chashir sheva pruta b'madai, how does Torah conceive of liquidity versus capital and all these things? There are a lot of things, but are they inspiring? Does your neshama go on fire from that? You know, not necessarily. And Hanami, he's not denying that. Where these other Sfarim, you get excited. Wow, you know. And that really helps people kind of really fight and break themselves and work on themselves. Right? This is frontal. Right? If I had to sum up the difference, and really, again, I'm alluding to a much bigger discussion, which is part of the discussion that Rav Soloveitchik has in Halachic Man about why the classical yeshiva world initially did not accept the Musar critique. It wasn't about whether they accepted the goals of Musar. The question was, can you get that from Gemara and stuff? And the Musar argument was, maybe in theory, but most people aren't. Right? These Sifrei Musar are more frontal. Might there be subtle messages? Might there be ways to get it from Limud Halacha, Mishnah Brura, Gemara? Yes. But these Sfarim are going to make you on fire because they focus on this. The Keser Torah. But what happens with all of this? You know, these are very strong words of Chaim Volozhiner. So these people, again, who's he criticizing here? Again, if you ask him, are these people better than forget the Kofrim and the Bundes and whatever else was going on in that generation. But even just Stam, the kids who are bumming, of course, that's obvious. But within the Beis Medrash, and with great respect for their idealism and their good intentions, but he's leveling an incredibly harsh and critique. He's not holding back. He says, what's the problem with all this? Again, I think you get the point anyway, but this next phrase, I think, really puts in perspective how mistaken he thinks this is. Because who's he talking about? Before we see the next sentence, who's he describing? Who's he aiming this at? Someone who's spending, I don't know if he means all day or a lot of their day, sitting with the Masil Shasharim literally or figuratively, maybe reading Tehillim, maybe meditating, working on themselves, maybe having a Musar journal. Like all of this stuff, like that nowadays you'd be considered like, you know, a spiritual hero for, right? They make you color war captain, right? Like this is amazing, right? You know, again, and given the other alternatives that are going on in the world, I'm not saying it's not. But nevertheless, with his aspiration for not only setting the record straight, but producing really great Jews, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner about those people, not the bummy guys, but those people, the Masil Shasharim people all day, what are they? Keser Torah Munach Beker Zavis. They've abandoned the Torah to sit all by itself in the corner. And as you who are sitting doing Musar all day, you're called someone who abandoned Torah. Abandoned Torah, I'm sitting. You go to my Makom in the Beis Medrash, there's 14 English books and Musar books and Ashkafa books and Art Scroll books. I get all this book, the whole inspiration section. Right? I'm like that guy from, you know, NCSY Summer. I'm inspired to inspire people. Right? It's like eight, you know, if you have a 14-word sentence, at least 8 of them have to have some conjugation of the word inspire. Again, I'm not mazalzel in it, and I'm sure Chaim Volozhiner wouldn't be, especially if the alternative is what the alternative is. But he wants to make it clear that that's actually not the ideal. If you've totally abandoned real learning, that other stuff is good, but it's not learning. Torah is what he calls gufei Torah or gufei halachos, and these people have been abandoned the Torah. Ube einai reiti, he says, listen, you don't want to believe me? I saw it with my own eyes. The Pelach Echad, a certain community, a certain shtibel, a certain little shtetl, shekol kachit pashet, at some of those, this was so widespread, achabro bate medrashim, ein bem rak sifrei musar levorov. And again, I'm telling you, I'm not going to name names, and again, it's better than what some of these kids are doing in 12th grade. But if I go to some of the yeshivas where your friends are at, you get to the makom, it's not a Gemara, the Ritva, the Shita Mekubetzes, the Kovet Mefarshim, and maybe Mishnah Brura and the Masil Shasharim, or a Sfas Emes. It's literally, you know, book after book after book, Hebrew and English, all machshava, all musar. See, so we're not surprised by that anymore. And again, in many of the cases, when I know what those kids were doing 6 months ago, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner is saying, for somebody who maybe 10 years ago would have been learning Gemara, and now all they have is a Sifrei Musar, give out. I feel shas echad shalei meimbo. I can go to certain shuls, certain shtibles, they don't even have a single full shas. Mehaven v'haskel libosam asher lo zua derech. They have to understand this is not the right way. Asher bachabo Hashem ki lo yiratzeh. They're again the best. Right again. I don't think he would be familiar with the phrase, but we know the idiom, right? Hell, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You forgive me, right? That's what he's saying. They have the best of intentions, but they're going down the wrong road. Od ma'at, God forbid, in a little bit, behemshech hazman, yuchol yoschas v'shalom, lo kohen more, v'torah ma tehei aleha. You're going to have lots of on fire from people who know nothing. And then what? Who are we? Who's going to be the rav? Who's going to be the posek? Everyone likes to have a good vart. Everyone wants to have a great shal shudas. Wonderful. But what about real Torah? Hein lezos atzor b'milin miyuchal. He says, what'd you start? Like, how can you even stop? Like, there's just no limit to what you could say about how bad this is. Milodia b'shifte yisro. We have to tell everyone. Liri Hashem v'tchoshve shemos aderech yochabo. We have to teach people what's the right way. Shal Torah. Oy lanu miyom adin. He goes, right now, when I look at the situation now, paraphrasing the famous Medrash in last week's Parsha Vayigash, oy lanu miyom adin. We are in for a major, major judgment. We are headed down the wrong road. Al avon bitula shel Torah. Again, remember, he's not talking about the guy who was playing ball all day. The guy who was playing, who's musar all day. Avon bitula shel Torah. They've abandoned Torah. Kasher hu yizbarach shema yikanei lo litbo elbana. And Hashem, who's a jealous God, one day he's going to come and claim for the shame that has been perpetrated against his Torah. So that's his social critique, his hashkafic, you know, laying down the gauntlet. And now we have just a few minutes left, but it's good because we did. This is the ikar of the perek. Now he's just going to give you a little bit of a preview, an outline. What is he doing? So how is this going to work? What's going to be the strategy? So he tells us, "Utchila asim devarti beinyan esek haTorah l'shma." He says the first thing we're going to go to is what is Torah l'shma. Mao inyan l'shma ki gamza prichatas l'kama hamonim atma me'esek haTorah kadosha b'chashvam ki inyan l'shma pirusho b'deveikas gadol b'lehafsek. Says first of all, I'm going to tell you another mistake that has creeped into our generation. He says, which is they don't know what Torah l'shma is, and I'm going to explain. He says this is a byproduct of this bigger problem that he's already diagnosed, which is that they don't know, not only do they know what to learn, they don't know what it means to learn Lishma anymore. So that's going to be a big part of the opening chapters, is for him to define what is Torah Lishma. But Gam Ra'a Chola Yosem, he said, but there are worse things. Shesovrim Bada'atam She'isek B'Torah B'lo Dveikas Ein Klum. People, not only do they know what real Torah is, but they think if they're not having some transcendent, uplifting, the angels aren't singing over their head while they're learning Baba Kama, people unfortunately think that they're wasting their time, and that's not called Torah, and that's no toeles. Chas v'shalom. Ulezos kisharon atvo shein libam holich lezos hamadrega shelimudam b'dvekas tamid yolich klal tamid v'alkein tavluk Torah. And again, it's mamish history repeating itself, because you have plenty of people who would say that now too, which is that they don't feel like they're doing anything that's genuinely spiritual unless they are having that spiritual high at the moment. And if they get that by opening up Sipuri Maisios of this or Likute Maran of that, again, I'm not being mazal, these all have their place. But when they don't realize what their proper place is and it becomes too outsized, he says that becomes a massive, massive problem which he is going to address. And as we go through it, I'll get into more things. And he points out in the last paragraph, and you should just know, I'm not a dogmatist. I'm not just accusing people of things. Rather, I'm going to bring proof. I'm going to bring chapter. I'm going to bring verse. This is not just going to be a harangue. I'm going to give you Gemara's, Midrashim, and I'm telling you, Zohar's too, as he says, Ashayidubar Niflos, Maila Satara Gdosh. You have to understand, you don't realize how incredible it is to learn Torah and what you're accomplishing that and really how close you are to Hashem, etc., etc. So that, I think, my friends, is the first parak of Shardalid.